Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. Pulling it out.
Y'all can't handle the truth.
Overcome them. We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to address these issues. That is, if you can handle the truth. Shalom, everybody. Most High in the name of Christ bless you. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show. We are the brothers from the Body of Christ Church, and my name is Hashi Yug, and with me is my brother.
Dawa Yud. Hey, what's going on, everybody out there? Feels good to be back.
All right, we're going to last week, if you was with us, we did a part on the curses of God, which were, you know, upon the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of things that we deal with on a regular day. You know, a lot of things going on in the world that is all part of this world being in a cursed state.
Mm-hmm.
That people just think this is the way that things are, and this is the way things are meant to be, but that is not true. It's a curse that's upon the world. You know, from disobedience to the commandments of the Most High God. And as long as the commandments are being ignored and not being taken heed to, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be tears, and there's going to be hard times. You know, there's going to be death, murder, killing, and all the other things that come with wicked people,
mm-hmm.
disobedient children. You know, and that's what you have in the inner cities. That's what you have all over the place. But to do a quick recap on one of the things that we did mention was that the earth was in a degenerating state where the earth is, and the people on the earth was dying off, getting weaker. Things that come that created everything that's in this existence, matter of fact, dies off. You know, that's why you have rust and mold and things of that nature. And, you know, everything in this world just dies off. And we're going to open up with a recap scripture, two recap scriptures. Wisdom of Solomon 1, verse 12.
You can shut that further.
Yeah.
Wisdom of Solomon chapter 1. Page is sticking through. All right, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1. Page is fine. Verse 12. Seek not death in the air of your life, and pull not upon yourself destruction with the works of your hands. For God made not death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living. For he created all things that they might have their beginning, or excuse me, being. And the generations of the world were healthful. And there is no poison of destruction in them, nor the kingdom of death upon the earth.
See, so when the Most High God first created the earth, it says the generations of the world were healthful. I mean, healthy, helpful. And there is no poison of destruction in them, nor the kingdom of death upon the earth. So right there is telling us within the scripture that when the Most High God first created the world, there were, you know, death was not a thing that was in existence. You know, the earth wasn't growing old. Things wasn't fading away and dying. You know, there was no death in man. There was no death at all, period. But read on.
For righteousness is immortality, or excuse me, is immortal. Sorry about that.
Check that out. Righteousness is immortal, meaning forever. As long we stayed in the commandments of the Most High and follow his instructions, that was immortality. All right, you know what I'm saying?
But ungodly men, with their works and words, called it to them. For when they thought to have it their friend, they consumed to naught and made a covenant with it, because they are worthy to take part with it.
So they thought to have sin as their friend, whatever pleasure they had, they thought they was men thought they was gonna enjoy in the lust of their flesh, but they consumed away in their disobedience, meaning they brought death unto themselves. And when we read about Adam, we see how death came upon man and death came upon the whole creation. Let's get one more scripture on the catch up. 2 Ezra 5:51. And I want to bring a connection to that, too, to show you how to, because I have made a statement, but I want to line up a scripture with that that shows how the even the vegetation is at a weaker state than it was in the beginning of the creation. And man is also at a weaker state. This scripture shows you that man is at a weaker state and the creation is all totally degenerating. But there's another scripture that shows you how fruitful the plants were back then. But this is 2 Ezra 5:51. We're going to read that.
2 Ezra 5:51. He answered me and said, ask a woman that beareth children, and she shall tell thee. Say unto her, wherefore art not they whom hast now brought forth like those that were before, but less of stature? And she answered thee, they that be born in the strength of youth are of one fashion, and they that are born in the time of age, when the womb falleth, are otherwise. Consider thou therefore also how that ye are less of stature than those that were before you, and so are they that come after you less than ye, as the creatures which now begin to be old and have passed over the strength of youth.
So it's talking about the creation that the Most High made is becoming old and how it passed the strength of youth, showing that things are getting weaker and weaker as time goes on. And let me get this quick scripture. Give me Numbers 13 real quick. I didn't bring this out last week, but I just want to make this final point, and we're going to pick up with the curses of God's people. Numbers 13, read verse 23. This is when Moses sent spies to spy out the land of Israel to check out and they brought some fruit back to Moses. Numbers 13, read verse 23 for me.
Yeah. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes.
So this branch had a branch hold one cluster of grape. Well, a cluster of grape is nothing, right? You can pick that up with one pinky, right? So go ahead, read on.
And they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs.
So this one cluster of grape, they bared it between two. Two men carried it with a staff. So it shows you that that cluster of grape had to be a lot greater and a lot bigger than the clusters of grape we know to have right now. So that shows you the degenerating of these grapes, because you can't find a cluster of grape now that it takes two men to carry it with a staff.
Never heard of it.
It's unheard of, but at that time, the things were, the grapes were that healthy, that sumptuous, you know, that big and great. I can imagine how big one grape off of that thing must have been. One grape probably was the size of a watermelon or something. Now, like you're saying, everything is getting grown weaker and weaker, and that's all because the curses that came upon the earth. And all people have to deal with this right now and have to deal with this world being in a terrible state. But we can alter and change the situation in our individual lives if we repent and begin to follow the commandments of the Most High God. We can change our situation, and Lord willing, we'll enter into the kingdom of heaven where everything is going to be brought back to the way it was originally made to be. and there's going to be no more death, as the scripture tells us. But now we're going to look at some things dealing with the people of God and the curses that fell upon them. Let's start with Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and verse 26.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known.
So check that out. So the Most High God told the Israelites, when he brought them forth out of Egypt, he told them very straight and very plain. Just like Adam was told, very straight and very plain.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you follow these commandments, which I give you, you're going to be blessed. If you go against these commandments, which I give you, you're going to be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at another area where the same thing was said again, but a little more information. Let's go to the 30th chapter. While we do it, I want to stay there for a minute. Deuteronomy 30, and read verse 15 on down from.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
So the Most High, again, being very plain, explaining to us that, look, he is our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we obey his voice and did the things that he commands us, that we'll be fruitful, we'll multiply, we'll have blessings, we'll have, he'll provide us with all things that we need. But if we didn't do that and we serve other gods, it always goes back to serving other gods, you see, that all these curses will come upon us, curses, evil, and death, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to, matter of fact, right where we at, read verse 1 and 30. I want to pull out a quick point in verse 1, then I want to go to chapter 32 real quick.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee.
So now, it's saying that this scripture just gave us a lot of information. Because in this scripture it said that the blessings and the curses were going to come upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And it also said that we would be driven among all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it also said that we would call these things to mind among the nations, whether the Lord thy God has driven thee, which is prophecy being fulfilled right now, because we're calling these things to mind right now on this show.
Mm-hmm.
That we were given commandments to follow. We broke those commandments. At first is according to scripture, we kept those commandments and received blessings. Then we end up breaking those commandments and receive curses. And we're going to look at what some of those curses are. But I want to read one more thing about the blessings and the curses. while we in Deuteronomy chapter 32 real quick. I got a couple more scriptures I'll let you.
Deuteronomy chapter 32.
Yeah, 32. Read 15 down to 20. Verse 15 down to 20.
For Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness.
So right here, Jeshurun is talking about Israel. Just another name that the scriptures use for the children of Israel. You know, a name that means to be upright or pleasant. So he says that they waxed fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they became a rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art waxed fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Words to show how plenteous we and how rich we were as a people at one time.
How blessed.
Yeah. With great blessings.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not.
And this thing is, you know, the scripture's showing us that this was a wicked thing that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the saddest part about this is that we have this Bible and we see people still doing the same thing. Because the scripture said the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils and not to God. But we still have our people, or people in general, that would hold this book and read this and still are doing things that are not contained in this book and look at it as being a light thing. But when we read here in the scripture, this was a great sin against the Heavenly Father. You know, a great evil and wicked sin that we did against the Most High God. And any of us find ourselves in this type of mindset where we're doing things that are contrary to God, we need to repent immediately.
Let me say something. There's a lot of stuff in here that's being said, because a lot of people always get offended very, very easily when you tell them they're sacrificing to devils. But see, the thing that they miss and the thing that they don't understand is that there's only two that you could be serving. It's either God or Satan. You know, there's no in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why God said you can't serve him and me. You know what I mean? There's only two people you're going to serve, or two spirits, or, you know, that you're going to follow, which is the Most High God, or it's going to be Satan. And the whole thing is, how do we discern that? How do we know, you know, what is what? That's how come we have to study and read the Bible, because if the Bible says that a man should not lay down with a man, I mean, that's so evident, is in the Bible. So how can someone say that a man can be with a man and it's okay in the eyes of God? How is that possible? Are you holding the same Bible we holding? Are you reading the same scripture we reading? Because it's not possible. So when we tell a group of people that's either teaching that or living that kind of lifestyle, you know, you got to understand you're serving Satan. You're not serving God, because it's not written. It's not so. You see, you're fearing another God, which is not the Most High God, but it's Satan. And that's, you know, that's really it in a nutshell. So if you see yourself serving, like we always mention, December 25th, which is Christmas, and things of that nature, if it's not contained in the Bible, you are serving Satan. And a lot of people don't want to believe it or see it and think, oh, no, I'm not serving Satan. I know I'm not serving the Son God. But God is saying you're either serving him, you know, or you're serving Satan. And if it's not contained in the Bible, it's obvious who you're serving. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So people got to really understand that.
Yeah, no doubt. And we always mention, too, how that idolatry is a very broad road.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes into you knowing the commandments of God and entertaining your lusts regardless to what the commandments say. Whatever that thing is that you're going into,
mm-hmm.
or that you're entertaining, regardless of what the commandments of the Most High is saying, is also going into idolatry. Because that thing that you need, you have to have, regardless of the commandments, has just became an idol. Alright? Alright, read on, brother.
Verse 18. of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters.
So when the Lord saw it, he abhorred, which means hate, because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. So I'm going to read, matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 18 again. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. Now, what does it mean to be unmindful? Now,
like unforgetful, someone that, you know, because not keeping it in their mind,
yeah,
the commandments of the Most High God.
Exactly, because the Most High tells us to acknowledge him in all our ways.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing something, you're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about whether God says thou shalt not or can thou.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking, you're not considering God in your actions. So when it says, verse 18 says, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee, meaning you're not keeping his commandments and you're not following his ways and his statutes.
You know the scripture when Paul goes into Romans chapter 7, and you even go into Romans chapter 8, you know, everyone that's listening in, when you read Romans 7 and Romans 8, you can see that there was a war going on. It was the flesh and the spirit, you know what I'm saying? And Paul talked about it all the time, about in his mind, there was thoughts that he wanted to follow that was of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even though the spirit tells him to do something contrary to that, the flesh is telling him, is still in his mind to still want to do it.
Yeah.
He still wanted to do what was in his lust, what was in his flesh. You see? So a lot of people got to understand that when you read God's word, which is spiritual, you got to understand that when you read that, you got to follow the spirit. You can't follow your lust just because you want to do it. Because Paul was saying he wanted to do it, but did he perform that lust that was in him? No. Because he still followed the spirit anyway, but even though he had those thoughts that want to fulfill the lust, you still got to overcome it and follow the spirit regardless.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's go to one more quick scripture. Daniel's.
Daniel's 9?
Yeah, Daniel's 9. Exactly. Daniel's 9:11.
Excuse me. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11.
I'll read that on down to about 14.
Mm-hmm. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem.
So the scripture's telling us, we're going to read some on it, but I just want to make a quick point, because he said, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they will not obey thy voice, meaning they didn't listen to the commandments of the Most High God to follow it. And it says that, therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we sin against him. So being that we broke the laws, that the Most High said the curses is poured upon us. And it said that he brought upon us great evil, because he said, I set before you curses and evil. So it said he brought upon us great evil, for under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem, meaning upon this people, the people that the Most High God brought out of Egypt. Now, if you look at the people on this earth and you read that statement right there, it's letting you know that these people, the biblical Israelites, suffered more hell than anybody else. Because it said, under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look around and try to, you know, that's why I said that these curses are upon us and upon our children. And the precepts, the word of the Most High is upon us, precept upon precept, because you can look at the history of a people going through, catching all kind of hell.
Yeah, all the captivity, you know, all the slavery, you can see the signs, and you can check it in history to find out who are those people.
Exactly, exactly. That's mm-hmm. the point where I'm trying to go with this. So you see people catching all types of hell, and you don't put two and two together and acknowledge who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you mm-hmm. know this one?
Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet may we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand our truth.
Now, that's the key part right there.
Can you handle the truth?
It says, yet, even though all these things are happening,
mm-hmm.
yet may we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities, mean turn and stop doing the things that, the very same things that caused us to go into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Or cause all these curses to come upon us, that we may stop doing these things and return and keep his commandments. Even to this day, people are still going into the scriptures and see things that the Most High has commanded and still doing contrary to the commandments.
Because to them, it didn't happen. It didn't happen to them personally. Oh, that was somebody else. It wasn't me.
They don't see themselves in the Bible.
Yeah, but exactly that too. But what I mean is, when a tragedy, or a disaster, or you know, a stabbing, a shooting, a drowning, or whatever happens to other people, they don't really look at their lives and say, you know what, I'm lucky to be here. And the matter of fact, I need to start getting myself right, because that could have been me.
Mm.
They're not looking at themselves like that. Because they're not even afraid. They're not even fearing the Most High God to even look at the warning that's in front of them.
Mm. That's a good point. All right, read on, then.
Verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Check that out. I'm going to read that again. Therefore hath the Lord, who done this? The Lord watched upon the evil and brought it. He did what? He brought it upon us. The evil, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obey not his voice.
So it's telling us the reason why these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture is being very clear and explaining the reason why these things happen. And when you really look at it, it's the reason why things are continuing to happen.
Exactly.
But yet, people are not checking themselves and saying, look, man, we have to make a change. Because even to this day, man, you look at the conditions of the inner city and things that's going on around the neighborhood, and people are coming up with all different types of reasons and ways to stop these things, instead of saying, look, what we need to do is turn to God and keep his commandments. What we need to do is repent and follow his commandments. That is the medicine. That is the cure. Because if these commandments is going to have the kingdom of heaven a place of peace and rest,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that work for society?
Oh, yeah.
You got some points on that?
I mean, a lot of things I wouldn't mind bringing out. When you look at, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. That's where I want to go right now, 1 Corinthians 10.
Okay, good.
1 Corinthians 10 brings out a lot of key points. And I want to talk a little bit before we even start reading. When we go to 1 Corinthians 10, of course, the scriptures are going to really explain it. But you got to understand that in the time of Israel going into captivity, were we not warned? Brother,
yeah,
you just read the scripture. When you go to Deuteronomy, you know what? Go back to Deuteronomy 30 real quick. I want to make this point before we read 1 Corinthians 10.
Just something real quick. In the next verse in Daniel 2, it said that we didn't obey the voice of the prophets that he sent, because he sent prophets to warn us, and we didn't obey their voice. Matter of fact,
well, go to it.
They killed the prophets.
Oh, you want to go to it?
No, we don't have to go to it.
Oh, okay.
But it's in that chapter. But, you know, we even know they killed the prophets. Christ even told us that the Most High sent prophets. You know, he gave a parable where the Most High sent prophets to Israel and they killed them. They sent more prophets. And he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send my son. They shall reverence him.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the son and killed him.
Yeah, that's right. So how many warnings have been out on the earth? I still want to read Deuteronomy 30 before we go back to, I mean, before we go to 1 Corinthians 10, just to show you that in the Old Testament, just like the brother just read, we're going to read that part again, verse 1. I just want to read further down. Start at verse 1 again, Deuteronomy 31.
And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curses.
Stop there, because the Most High God already foreknew that they were going to go into wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's telling Moses right here, you know what I mean, ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a prophecy that he already knew was going to take place, that, you know what, these dudes are going to go off and I'm going to put a curse on them anyway. But they're going to receive the blessings, but when both of them come upon them, this is what he's saying right here. Read on.
Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, and all thy, with all thy heart and with all thy soul,
mm-hmm.
that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity
mm-hmm.
and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee.
So understand this, that God was giving the people a warning back then mm-hmm. in the time of Moses. You know, saying that, listen, man, you read a little while ago when you were all the way down to verse 15, we read all the way down to verse 20, how that verse 15 says, see, I have set before thee this day light and good and death and evil. But why is it that people want to pick death and evil, brother?
Because it's pleasing to their flesh.
That's right, because they don't want to follow the words of the Most High God. But the thing is, if you want life, then you're not going to kill. If you want life, then you're not going to be a stripper. You're not going to be a pimp. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be a murderer. You're not going to have hatred in your heart. You're not going to commit fornication. You're not going to commit idolatry. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to do these things because you want life. But when other people want to do the opposite of that, they want to gang bang, you know what I'm saying? They want to be out here killing people. They want to sell drugs, do drugs. They want to cheat on their wife, cheat on their husband.
Steal,
manipulate, you know what I'm saying? They want to do all these things and deceive your brothers and your sisters. You want that. But it's pleasing to you. To you, you think there is no judgment. But God is telling us right here in the word that it's going to be a curse to you when you operate that way.
Matter of fact, society in itself is a curse because mm-hmm. of you.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. society itself is a curse because of you. And another point I wanted to highlight in this scripture right here is the Most High didn't only prophesy what would happen, but he also told us what the remedy is.
Exactly.
Because he said right here in
verse 2,
matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, and with all thy heart and with all thy soul,
mm-hmm.
that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity
mm-hmm.
and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. So he told you the remedy. The remedy is to return and to obey his voice.
And then when you look at Jesus Christ coming, that is that compassion. That is that mercy
mm-hmm.
to forgive you for your sins. But how can you be forgiven if you're still doing the same thing?
Yeah.
That's why what you said in verse 2, if you don't return unto the Lord thy God and obey his voice, there is going to be no compassion. The curses are still going to come. You know, you wonder why your husband keep abusing you. You wonder why your wife keep cheating on you. You see what I'm saying? The Bible tells you these are curses that's happening in your relationship because you're not bowing down to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you wonder why things ain't going right. Why it seems like you're just a magnet to all kind of grief and aggravation and all kind of, you know, distress. Don't get it twisted. When you come in the gospel, you're going to have some things, too, that's going to bother you. But we understand that that's your lust coming after you sometimes and you want to go into your lust.
Yeah.
And you got to fight that temptation, you know, off. But we understand that in a regular everyday life, there's going to be trials and tribulations. But we're talking about
coming after you to take you out, to wipe you out. These curses that God sent upon us because of our disobedience. And you wonder why.
Mm-hmm. It's time for you to look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, people are falling into diverse types of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they heavy laden. They got all types of tribulation in their life. They're losing their children. The state taking their children away. You know, they can't pay their bills, they're on drugs, they're addicted to drugs, they can't kick the drug habit. You know, they got all types of things, man, that's plaguing them.
And they deal with stress by being whores and whoremongers. They deal with stress with using drugs and being drunkards, you know, dealing with their anger.
And these are all things that the scriptures command us not to deal with,
mm-hmm.
not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they doing it and wonder why, you know, Their life is plagued. That's why the scripture said that the wicked stumble. They know not at what they stumble. You know, I know I chopped it up a little, you know, but you got the meaning.
Read verse 3 again to 4.
Okay, this is Deuteronomy 30:3.
Mm-hmm.
That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee.
Letting you know that the children of Israel is his chosen people, and we have been scattered among all people. And the Most High God has already told us if we turn back to him and obey his voice, he's going to gather us. This is what the scripture is saying. He's going to gather us no matter what part of the world we're in. He's going to come get us. He's not going to forget us. Read on.
If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good.
See, it ain't going to be no curse, brother. He's going to do us good.
Yeah.
But see, this is the only way that good and the blessing is going to come back. Only if we obey his voice. That's the key. That's the remedy, like you said a little while ago. Read on.
I like that how it says, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land
mm-hmm.
which thy fathers possessed. So it's showing you it's still that same family. That's
exactly.
Why it says your fathers possessed it.
Mm-hmm.
All nations didn't possess that land. It's talking about that family that came out of Egypt that he gave the law, statutes, and commandments to, that now our days have been scattered among all nations. You know, it's not just an American thing, different parts of America or South America, but it's all nations. They were scattered into all nations. That's why when you read the New Testament, he sent his disciples out to say, go out and preach this gospel unto all nations, because that's
right.
Where his elect are. They're in all nations. You know, and we're going to build on that some more a little later on in the show.
That's why, you know, when you look at something like that, you got Israelite groups out here saying that Esau is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Israel is going to be in all nations. The devil's in you. The lust in you is where the devil's at. It ain't got nothing to do with Esau being the devil. You need to repent. I don't care what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
You need to repent and turn back to the Lord. All right? And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now read verse 6.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart
mm-hmm.
and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
See, the thing is, the Lord said he would circumcise thy heart. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, we got to circumcise our heart in the Lord God. You see, we got to make sure we have a new heart in our we got to be that new creature.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to now obey his voice. That's what that's going into. And he's going to put that in us. He's going to put that understanding in us and how to serve him. And then we're going to pass it on to our children and how they're going to serve. And then their children. And it's going to be in our family. But see, we have to turn to him in order to receive that and receive more knowledge on how to serve him. Now read verse 7.
And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemy.
Now the curse that was once on you, Israel, when you repent, it's going to come off of us and it's going to go on our enemies
mm.
when you repent.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you have to repent. That's why it goes to show you there's a spirit. Like we went through, I'm going to pull that scripture out too,
in a little while, because we got to go back to that scripture again to show people that there's a spirit out there that God is sending, you see, on people that disobeys his voice. Now, read on.
I'm going to read 7 again.
Yeah.
And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee.
Now, check that out. So the Most High God says, I'm your revenger. You know, I'm going to pay back. You don't need to get nobody back. You see? Those that hate thee and persecute you, I'm your father. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to put that curse on them. Read verse 8.
And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day.
And that's the point. You see? We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 10 now. But that's the whole point that I'm trying to make, is that if God, even back then, he was warning the people, listen, man, if you want to continue and have life and blessings, then follow my voice. But if you want death and you want to die, that's your choice.
And curses and evil.
Exactly. That's your choice. That's what you wanted. That's what you picked. You can have that. God ain't saying you can't have it. You can have it.
You make the choice.
You make the choice. You see? But go to 1 Corinthians 10 now. And after that, we'll probably go and take a break, unless you want to extend it, depending on how we flow. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. And I don't know where I want to start it. Start verse 5. Just bring out a couple key points.
All right, this is 1 Corinthians 10 and 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. But they were overthrown in the wilderness.
So it's going right back to Israel again.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Letting you know, Israel is God's chosen people, okay, period, in the story. You understand? So when you look in this scripture, but many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Let's finish reading it out, because it's going to explain some of the things, how they were overthrown in the wilderness. All right, read on.
Now, these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lust.
So our key point is to pay attention to the things they lusted after, the evil things they lusted after. So we're going to read some of these examples of what they lusted after. Read verse 7.
Neither be idolaters.
So the key thing here we're reading is those that were serving idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the time in the wilderness, they were serving idolatry. After God and took them out of Egypt with a mighty arm. You trying to tell me you're going to serve idolatry? You done seen all the wonders and signs that the Most High God performed, and now you want to serve another god in the wilderness? After I done took you from Egypt, now you're in the wilderness, and that quick you done turned and served idolatry.
You know, it's funny how idolatry always seems to come up when he mentioned these things. It's like number one on the hit list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, idolatry always seems to come up. And the scriptures tell us that it's a cursed thing. That these idols that, you know, our people seem to be cleaving onto, even to this day, it says it's a cursed thing. And the Most High command is that we ain't supposed to have no parts of it. Don't even bring it into our house. But we have people bringing, you know, these things into their house, like Christmas trees and things of that nature, and want to partake in these
rituals.
Yeah, pagan traditions and rituals. And the information is out there to... That makes it
crystal clear.
Yeah,
man.
Crystal. It's not even something that you can even debate.
Mm-hmm.
That these things are into idolatry, and that's an evil thing to lust after, man. And we read in the scripture right here where it says that was an example for us to know not to lust after evil things.
Mm-hmm.
But we still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
A lot of people still doing it. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
So when you see the scripture, when you go back to Exodus 32, you'll see the story of when Moses was talking to God and when he took a while to come back down, that Aaron, the people got on Aaron to build two calves in honor of what? The sun god. And they had a feast. It was a proclamation. They had a feast. And they said, these be the gods. Yeah. You see, that delivered us, you know, out of Egypt.
They were celebrating one of the pagan holidays.
And we know when you study it, because you go to Acts 7, and you can read Acts 7, like verse 40 all the way down, give or take, and you'll see that what it is they were worshiping.
Yeah.
Them two calves that they made was to Molech, which was the sun god.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And these are the things that they were doing. These were the customs in honor of the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets, and things of that nature. And Molech was the sun god. And when was he born, brother?
December 25th.
He was born December 25th. And this was being done in the time of Moses, when Aaron built the two calves in honor of the sun god. This is way before Christ came on the scene.
Or the winter solstice.
Exactly. So, but we know it goes back to Egypt because it said that these be the gods. Remember, God said, don't turn back into Egypt. Because that's what they were following, what was being done in Egypt with Isis and Horus. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? They was already worshiping the sun god, the queen of heaven and her son, which was the sun god. So this custom, what we're reading here, when you read this again, read verse 7 one more time. Actually, read verse 6 and 7 again so it can make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6.
Mm-hmm. Now, these things were our example to the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lust. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
So when you see where it says the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, is what they was worshiping and the customs that came with it. That went back to the time of Isis and Horus when they turned back into Egypt and started following their gods and saying, these be the gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt. So they put that name on the Most High God that actually delivered them, just like they're doing today. They put December 25th on the God of Israel, like them be the gods that drove us out, took us out of the land of Egypt. That's not true. Because our God wasn't born, our son, the Most High God's son wasn't born on December 25th. But these are the names and these are the customs that's put on God even today. That's idolatry. He's saying, do not lust after that custom. Do not lust. Do not get up to eat and drink and rise up to play on that day. This is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So read on. Verse 8.
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000.
Yeah, so 23,000 died by the hands of the Most High God. That was a curse, brother. That was a curse. That was a curse from God. God killed them people. You see? So it goes to show you that why they kill them, because he told them, when you read that story, you'll see that they were following Moab, and they took on the whoredoms of Moab, and they were what?
Dealing with their women.
Dealing with their women, and then dealing with their women. The Most High God told us not to deal with the other nations. Don't let our sons lay with their women. Don't let our women lay with their sons. You understand what I'm saying? Because what's going to happen when we do that? We're going to take on their customs and their rites and their ceremonies. We're going to follow their gods and the way they serve their gods. Mm-hmm. So God killed them because of that, because of idolatry. That was an example right here, what we're reading, of not to do. And what was the sum of it? The curse came upon them, and he destroyed them. He killed them. This is happening today, brother. You see? And people got to understand that. You need to understand what idolatry is and come up out of it. Because the Most High God is saying, I'm going to judge you. And these are examples in the Bible. And it's proven. Read verse 9.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents.
Now, when you see this story, what happened in this story? Now that let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. They were murmuring, they were complaining, saying, oh, you done took us out of Egypt to be killed in the wilderness. All we got is this old plain bread that's coming down from heaven. We sick of eating this bread. We want to go back into Egypt. So what did God do? He sent serpents among them to kill them because of their murmuring. You see what I'm saying? Because of their lack of faith. And he killed a lot of them because of the serpents. I mean, because of their wickedness, so he sent the serpents. That was also a curse. Mm-hmm. He sent serpents among them. That goes back to what we read last week, brother, about how he made these certain evil things for his vengeance. And he put a spirit on them to perform his deeds or perform his commandment that he sent out to destroy who he wanted to destroy. Those that don't obey his voice, he's going to send, this form of curse upon you. So this is what's happening according to the Bible. He's giving us examples of what not to do. You want to take a break now and then we come back?
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to take a quick promo. We'll be right back.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at TheBOCC and view our videos on youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. We're going to pick up where we left off on 1 Corinthians 10, and we're going to read verse 9 again. But for those that's just probably tuning in, we're just going over some of the curses that came upon Israel and still on Israel. And the only way to get rid of these curses is if we turn back to the voice of the Most High God to follow His commandments, His laws, and His statutes through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we will have that compassion, coming from the Most High God. And those curses will be lifted off of us. And we will receive the blessings that was promised to us and the children of Israel.
Yeah. And when we say Israel, we're not referring to the people that's in Palestine right now. We're referring to the biblical Israelites and the true Israel is going to be those that are in Christ that's following the wisdom and understanding of Christ, that return back to the understanding of Christ. And that's the ones that the Most High God is going to deal with. That's the Israel of God.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, the people fell and went into captivity and went into darkness, because part of the curse was they was discontinued from their heritage that God gave them, which was knowing who they were as a people.
Mm-hmm. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read verse 9.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents.
You know what I want to do, brother? Because I really want to bring this point out before I continue. It's very important. Go to Numbers so we can explain something real quick in that, and then we'll move back. We'll come back here. I just want to bring this example out crystal clear. We'll go to Numbers chapter 21. What did happen at that time when he brought the serpents? And why did he bring the serpents? You know? So let's check this out. Numbers chapter 21 and read start at verse 5.
Numbers 21 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
So, when you read the scripture right here, the Most High God killed people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, oh, my God don't do that. My God wouldn't do that. But God's saying right here, he did it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. So the Lord sent those serpents, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Read on.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned.
So stop there. So the people now said, you know what? We did something wrong. We sinned. So they acknowledged the error of their ways.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I went here, so people can understand that, you know, you got to understand that you have to acknowledge that you're sinning.
Yeah.
You wonder why these things is happening to you. You even look at, you know, the news or look in your neighborhoods or whatever it is. You see the tragedies, the calamities, these different things that's going on. People are dying on a daily basis. People are catching diseases on a daily basis. There's a lot of curses that are happening right in front of you. If it ain't happening to you, it's happening to people around you. And you got to start looking at yourself and you say, you know what, I fear that. Because the people that said we have sin is the people that didn't die. Yeah. They watch others die around them.
They examine themselves and acknowledge that something's going on here. Mm-hmm. We did something wrong.
Exactly.
But are people doing that now? Are they acknowledging that something's going on? Are we doing something wrong?
You wonder why your cousin died, your father died, your mother died. And you got your friends dying, people around you dying, you know, things are happening, people are being paralyzed, people are catching all kinds of diseases, cancer, AIDS, and it's just tearing them up. Are you not looking at yourself saying, I want to live?
Mm.
So let's read on. Read verse 7.
Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned,
mm.
for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people.
So what was the serpents, brother? Was it a blessing or was it a curse?
It was a curse.
Oh, so it says pray unto the Lord that he take away the what? The curse from us. You see? Because this is what we have to realize. We have to look at the man in the mirror and say, you know what, Father, I have sinned. Please take away this curse, you know, from me. Whatever it is that I'm going through because of my sin, take it away from me. I acknowledge I was in the wrong, and I want to get better. Have compassion upon me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in turn, I want to listen to your voice now. I want to obey your voice now. I want to follow you now. Go ahead.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass that everyone that is smitten,
bitten,
that is bitten,
mm-hmm.
when he looketh upon it, shall live.
Now, check that out. See, some of the people didn't die. Some of them was bitten, and they was afraid for their life. They was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So he's saying, listen, man, if you look upon this and you realize you have sinned, and in your heart you really mean it, you're going to live. You realize, you acknowledge you sinned. So when you look upon this fiery serpent and set it on a pole and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is what the Most High God told Moses to tell the people. Look upon it, and you shall live. Read on.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived.
Mm. But we know the key point is why they live is that they realize they sinned, brother.
Yeah, they repented.
They repented. And that's the whole key point. So when we go back to 1 Corinthians 10 now, now I want you to read verse 9, but we're going to read down to verse 11. Read it all the way through. Mm-hmm.
This is 1 Corinthians 10 and 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an example.
See, all these things that we just read in 1 Corinthians 10, these things were written, all right? Now all these things happen unto them for an example. So these things happen. What was the example for? Read on.
And they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So it's written for us to be what? It's like for us to be aware, to be advised. It's a warning. You see what I'm saying? It should be highlighted in your brain like a big warning, just flashing in your brain that, yo, this is a warning. I can't serve idolatry. I can't be like them when God sent this fiery serpents. I can't be like them that committed whoredom, that committed idolatry.
Fornication.
That married an individual that was serving it. I got to make sure that if I'm with an individual, they're learning the Most High God and being won over by the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? So these are the things that we must have in us before we be destroyed.
Exactly.
You see? And these are the things we got to understand that we got to keep in the eyes of the Most High God. Let me bring out this one more point real quick.
Okay.
Go to St. John chapter 3 now. The famous scripture. St. John chapter 3. And everybody love to go to verse 16. But let's go to verse 14. And then we're going to read down to 16. I just want to bring this point out.
And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
So the same way we just read the story about the serpent in the time of Moses, all right, that was put, you know, a brass or whatever they set up. Anyone that was bitten of it and they wanted to live, they had to what? Realize that they sinned. They had to realize that they sinned, and if they were bitten, meaning if there was a curse among them or on them, and they looked upon it, it would be, you know, taken off of them, and they shall live.
Yeah,
because that serpent had poison, and it bit them, they were supposed to die. Because of the sins that they committed, they were supposed to die. That's the key point. Why did Jesus Christ come? We about to read. Because we all were supposed to die. And who was the group of people that he was dealing with in the time of Moses with the fiery serpent? The children of Israel. It's the same thing. He's still dealing with the children of Israel. Read verse 14 again.
And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lift up.
Read.
That whosoever believe in him should not perish,
mm.
but have eternal life.
Yeah, because if you believe in him the same way they believed when they looked upon that fiery serpent that Moses made, they knew they was going to live because they realized that they had committed a sin that was worthy of death. They was about to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's saying, oh, well, if I look upon it, I realize I sinned, and I shall live.
Yeah. And if you look at it, too, we all been bit with the poison of sin.
Exactly.
So Christ is the one we have to look up to.
Exactly. So
and
now.
So the curses don't come upon us.
And then we're going to have eternal life because we're going to live. So it's talking about a spiritual thing that's going on here now. It's talking about a spiritual life, an everlasting life. When we look upon Jesus Christ, Christ, I was a fornicator. Christ, you know, I had hatred. Christ, I was a murderer. Christ, I held grudges all the time. Christ, I was a deceiver. You know, I was a wicked, wicked individual. But now I acknowledge my sin. Please forgive me for my sins. And I want to look upon the Son that you sent for me.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's heavy, too, is the sin that we committed is just like that poison, that poison that's in us,
mm-hmm.
just like the poison that was in the snake. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we can look on Christ and be healed of that poison,
mm-hmm.
that lust for being a fornicator, mm-hmm. that lust for being an idolater, that lust for being a thief, and we could overcome all these things in Christ.
Because ultimately, it's going to kill you.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to kill you. The wages of sin is what? Death, man. That's how you're going to perish. So when you read verse 15 again, read that again.
That whosoever believe in him should not perish.
So you shall not perish because you believe in the Son of God and you believe that you know you committed a sin and you know you acknowledge it now and you're working on yourself and I want to live. Mm. And this is what we're supposed to do in the name of Christ. Read on.
But have eternal life.
Now read the famous scripture, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Now that scripture makes more sense now when you read verse 16. And the group of people he was talking to was who? The Israelites. The group of people he's talking to now is still the children of Israel, the Israelites. And whomever shall look upon him, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the only way to believe in him when you read verse 16 is to what? Acknowledge your sin and ask for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You just can't say, oh, I believe and I believe. The scriptures tell you everyone that says, Lord, 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 should not make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't really want to acknowledge their sin. They don't really believe. Because believing in him is mean you acknowledge your sin that you was about to be put to death. So that's what I got to do. I got to change my way of life. I can't serve idolatry like they did in the wilderness. I can't serve the Son God like they did in the wilderness because they perished by doing that.
Yeah. And you know what's heavy too? That that's all part of the curses that people are serving idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all part of the curses because it's written in the curse. As a matter of fact, we're going to read that, that we will be serving other gods if we obey to follow his voice. And it's a curse not to know who your God is and not to understand and not know how to follow him. And to be following false, pagan, idolatrous practices, thinking that you're doing service to the true and living God when you're not. It's a curse to read St. John 3:16 and not have the proper understanding of what it means. You know, all these things is a curse, and all this deception that's on this earth right now, these lies and false doctrines that people are getting into is all a curse. Because all the labor and time you've taken into this false doctrine, all that work is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in vain. I wanted to go into something real quick, too. Go to Deuteronomy 28:20-63, because we're going to, in a way, I'm going to try to cover all this with these scriptures, because, matter of fact, let's read it, and as we go on, I better explain where I'm going with this. Deuteronomy 28, start at verse 63. We're going to read 63 and 64.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it.
So Most High telling us, at this time, because we didn't obey his voice, that we'll be taken from off the land and he would look over us to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Read on.
And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
And that's what the people are doing. They're serving other gods. They're into Islam. They're into all types of madness. But the point is that we would be scattered among all nations. We don't have our homeland no more, and we're scattered among all people. So now we begin to get some understanding of why, like we said before, Christ told the disciples to go into all nations. But there's more on that I want to look at. Let's go to Luke 21, because we always pull this out, because this scripture, Christ tells us about the scattering and gives us a little more information about it. So part of the curse is being scattered among all nations, right? All right, start at verse 20. 21 and 20 on down to 24. Like, you know, that's what we always hit on that.
Luke chapter 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
And what is that was written? That they will be scattered into all nations.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So here it's telling you that they're going to be scattered into all nations. We know also around this time they were already into all nations.
Yeah.
But the remnant of them that were in still in Jerusalem were going to be led away into all nations, and we're going into all nations into captivity.
Yeah.
Meaning chains and shackles.
Mm-hmm.
And it also said that Jerusalem, after they get taken out of that land, that city, Jerusalem, will be trotted down of Gentiles.
Meaning the other nations are going to come in.
And they're going to be possessing that land.
And they're going to take over that land.
Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And as a mm-hmm. matter of fact, we still in the time of the Gentiles.
Being fulfilled right now.
Yeah, the time that the Gentiles still have rulership of this earth.
That's right.
So God's people are still under that curse where they will be scattered among all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And as we read in Deuteronomy, they will be serving other gods.
That's right.
And that's why when we read a scripture like St. John's 3:16, people don't understand what that scripture means because their mind, that curse is still upon them
mm-hmm.
where they worshiping other gods and they don't really have the understanding of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something else that comes upon that being scattered among all nations, another curse that I want to read about that comes upon that being scattered among all nations. Let's go back to Daniel's 9 and let's read verse 5 and 7.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments.
In another word, from departing from this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, huh?
Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land.
So that's another scripture to tell you that the Most High did send prophets. They just didn't listen. And he's sending men now that's telling the people, and they still not listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee.
So this scripture right here is telling us that we in all these nations also, but it's adding the fact that there's a confusion of face. And the reason why I wanted to really highlight that scripture right there, because when you look at a confusion of face, a face is your is what? A face is your identity and who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a confusion of face, it means that the people are not going to know who they are. You know, because it says you're going to be scattered into all nations, but on top of being scattered into all nations, you don't know who you are as a people. You don't have your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, a lot of Israel... You think you can't put a face or identity? This is what an Israelite actually looks like. You know?
Yeah.
How are you going to put that identity on them and say, this is what you actually supposed to look like? You know, I want to kind of hit that a little because there's only one thing that's really going to identify us and give us the understanding on who we are in this last day and time because of this confusion of face. Because a lot of people are trying to say and trying to pinpoint what an Israelite looks like.
Yeah, how the heck did you do that?
Yeah, and there's something else that also took place, another law that was being broken that caused the confusion to go even deeper. Go to Deuteronomy 7 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few more. Let me give it back to you. Deuteronomy 7 and Matter of fact, read 1 through 4, because this is something else that's been taking place that, caused that confusion of faith to go even deeper.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto their sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son.
So that's a commandment with not intermarrying, which is part of what they did when it talks about the curse of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
The Moabites, when they were intermarrying with the Moabites and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
the Most High told us not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, read on?
For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly.
Now,
and that's what happened in that time.
Mm-hmm. And that's also happening now.
Exactly.
And one of the things that does, it also exalt that confusion of faith, because now a lot of people don't know they're Israel because of intermarrying. They don't know, you know, they can't prove their line, or they doubt whether they're Israel or not. Well, I don't know because my mother was this and my father was that, and back then my great-grandfather was this and that. It's just a bunch of confusion that took place. And a lot of people don't want to follow the Most High because of that confusion.
And it's sad to say, too, brother, because now it got so bad that, you know, you can't sit here and say don't sleep with this one because they're Gentiles, they're heathen. It got so bad that you can, that's why you said it. Like, how do you know what an Israelite look like? How do I know who I'm sleeping with today? You know what I'm saying? Because it's all spiritual now. You ain't got to worry about looking at a face, oh, he look Israel, or she look, I don't know, that's borderline right there. She look like she could be from another nation. Like, really? It don't work like that. It's all according to the Most High God. The Spirit, Son, and the Father, the Most High God, then deal with that individual, period.
Yeah, that's why the Most High said go to one party, said go to every creature.
That's right.
You know, let me read one more scripture on that, then I'm going to hit a couple of scriptures to explain how we identify, and then I'll get back to you, try to be quick on it. Go to Jeremiah 31 real quick. Jeremiah 31, and read verse 27 and 28.
Jeremiah 31:27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord.
So he's talking about them same people, but he said there was a time when I sowed them among the seeds of men. I mean, they're going to be mixed among all these nations. But then I'm going to watch over them to pluck and to build and to rebuild them. So he's talking about that people. Read verse 31 real quick.
Jump to 31?
Yeah.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
So that new covenant is talking about, that new covenant is going to be with those same people. And that new covenant is dealing with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to know if we're part of that? Is it by a look or something?
No, it ain't got nothing to do with no darn look.
So let's go to, let's read that.
The Romans?
John 6, read John 6, 44, to show you how we're going to redeem ourselves from that curse. And that, and this is what we have to have our faith in. That the Most
St. John 6, 44?
Yeah, read 6, 44, then we're going to read 60.
All right, St. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
So it's the Father that's bringing us in.
It's not man.
It's not man. The Most High is going to bring you in. The Most High is going to open up your mind to receive this understanding.
That's right.
So if you hear this, these scriptures, you understand, don't worry about all that. This is a spiritual thing. The Most High is gathering his elect back. Matter of fact, hold this and get Isaiah 34, and we're going to come back and read one more on that, and then I'm going to give it to you.
Isaiah 34?
Yeah, get Isaiah 34 and read 16 and 17 real quick. There's so many on that point, but I'm just want to hit this point real quick because it is a curse that's keeping a lot of people from turning to the Most High. Read 16 and 17.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
Talking about this Bible.
No one of these shall fail.
None of these prophecies that's in this Bible is going to fail.
None shall want her mate.
I mean, you don't need another book. You don't need to take the Quran and mix it with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For my mouth it hath commanded.
I mean, God's mouth has commanded what's written in this book.
That's right. And his spirit it hath gathered them.
And his spirit is going to gather us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Most High. His spirit is going to gather us. That's why Christ said that no man can come to him unless the Father draws him in. So when your mind opens up and you understanding these scriptures and you understanding the gospel of Christ, the gospel of repentance, then you know that you one of his sons or one of his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know?
Verse 17. And he hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein.
So he's going to bring us back, and we're going to possess it. So, yeah, read one more. Yeah, one more six. Read verse...
St. John chapter 6.
64 and 65, and I'll give it back to you.
Verse 64 and 65.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
So that's why some people don't believe. They don't believe because they're not the ones that the Most High is calling in. Unless it's not time for them to be called in, unless the Most High is going to call them in at another time. But Christ saying that, hey, some of you don't believe because it's not given unto you to believe. And that's why he came back and said in that last verse that no man can come to me except it's given to him of the Father. So if the Father opened up your mind to understand and to receive, then the doors are open and no man can close it.
Yeah, only got a minute, so go to Mark chapter 6 real quick. We'll go to Mark chapter 6. It's very important because the whole thing is with these curses, the whole thing is the wages of sin is what, brother?
Death.
That's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
That is a curse. Christ only can take away that curse if you believe in him. And you shall overcome. The whole world not. The whole world can say with their mouth, I believe in Jesus Christ. Does that mean they deliver?
No.
No, because the scriptures tell you that only if you do the will of the Father, which is in heaven, that's the only way you're going to be delivered. You got to show actions. Go to Mark chapter 6, read verse 7.
And he called unto him the 12.
So this is Christ. He called on the 12. The 12 what? The disciples. Read on.
And begin to send them forth by two and two.
So he sent them forth two by two.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And gave them power over unclean spirits.
So he gave them power over unclean spirits, which we're dealing with today, unclean spirits. And we teach the word so they can be cleansed. Jump down to verse 11.
And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet, for a testimony against them.
Stop there. We're short for time. That's why I'm jumping right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So just like people don't want to hear the word today, we shake the dust off our feet and we keep it moving. You don't want to stop committing fornication because you love laying with all these different people. That's on you. You want to keep selling drugs. That's on you. You want to keep having hatred for your wife and for your husband. That's on you. If you want to be a homosexual, that's on you. Read on.
Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day, in the day of judgment, than for that city.
Now, check that out. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was a great overthrow by the Most High God, brother.
Yeah, with fire.
With fire from heaven.
Fire and brimstone.
That's right. Destroy that place. He's saying it's better for them than it's going to be for you. And I sent them two by two to you. But what did he send them for?
To give them a warning.
So what did he give a warning? Read verse 12.
And they went out and preached that men should repent.
Men should repent. That's what he sent the disciples out to teach. Repentance. What are these churches teaching today? You see, we got to turn the people back to God. In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the curse came, which was what? Fire and brimstone tore them behinds up. They was put to death for the sins that they were committing in that place. And God said, it's going to be, it's just better for them, for what happened to them, what's going to happen to you? It's more tolerable. What's going to happen to you is way beyond what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what the hell were they doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Committing all kind of whoredom, committing all kind of idolatry, all kind of fornication, just like it's going on today. But he sent men out here to teach repentance. You need to repent. Go to
Let me go to one verse.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they cast out many devils and anoint with oil many that were sick and healed them. So the people were under curses. You know, Satan, devils having demons out possess your body is under curses.
That's right.
All right, where you at?
Go to 2 Peter. We always go to this scripture. We're dealing with this. I'm going to go to one more scripture.
2 Peter
3 and read verse 9.
2 Peter is the third chapter?
Yep, verse 9.
And verse 9, okay. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness.
So we know a lot of people, men don't keep their word, and they don't follow through with their word. But the Most High God ain't like man, that he should lie. When he say it, it's going to come to pass. So he's saying he's not slack concerning his promise. His promise of what? That he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's going to judge the people, man. That's why he sent out people to teach people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Read on.
But his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
That's right. Because perishing, to perish means there's a curse on you. That's going to take you out. You see what I'm saying? So repentance goes a long way. You know, you got to know what repentance is. No one can teach repentance. You know, because the homosexuals, there's some homosexuals that call themselves Christians. There's some homosexuals that actually teach the Bible and say they of Christ. They claim they teach repentance, right?
Yeah.
They claim they of God, right? But we know according to the scriptures, it's not so. So we have to understand what the Bible is saying, and we have to teach repentance. I want to go to this last scripture right here. Go to Timothy, the book of Timothy. Go to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 19.
Okay.
2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his.
See, the Lord knows who is his. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
And let everyone that name the name of God, the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yeah, see, a lot of people want to hold on to Lord, Lord, that's my Savior, that's my Christ. But you have to know what iniquity is to depart from it. Iniquity is talking about sin. So you just can't scream Jesus, Jesus, and scream, oh, the blood of the Lamb and all this other stuff. You got to understand that the Most High God is saying depart from iniquity. Don't even mention my name if you're still committing these acts.
Yeah.
It don't mean nothing. Okay. No, you want to pull out something?
No, I have one scripture.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and close it. No, close it with it.
All right. This is Revelation 22. I'm going to read verse 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Mm.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I want to. So we thank you for tuning in, and shalom, everybody. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. And may he increase the fruits of your righteousness.
And with that, we pray that the Most High God edified, you know, it was edifying, period, the words of God coming out today, tonight. And Lord's will, you'll repent, and don't name the name of Jesus Christ unless you're departing from iniquity. And with that, we say shalom. Mm-hmm.
The Body of Christ Church advises.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UReach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.